Okay, we're going to backtrack. We're really on the Gemara on 29b, but before we go to the next part of the Gemara 29b, there's a part that we did already that we have to do an important footnote that I had skipped so that we could move along a little bit, but now we can't avoid it. So let's go back to that Kal Vachomer that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was employing. Okay? So let's just go back to that Kal Vachomer. If you recall, let's just back it up. And it starts from Kal Vachomer Yeshlo. Okay, we said Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai used a Kal Vachomer to teach us that what? That there is a shlishi by truma. Okay, that if something that was a sheni touches, that was tame, that touches truma, the truma becomes a shlishi and is tame. And he learned that from a Kal Vachomer. Right? And what was the Kal Vachomer? Learned it from a tevul yom. Okay, we'll just review that quickly, and we got to do that important footnote, because we'll see it'll come back for us. Umat tevul yom. What do you know about a tevul yom? Remember, the tevul yom, he was tame, went to the mikvah, as waiting for the sun to set. Such a person who's waiting for the sun to set, shemutar b'chulin. A tevul yom's allowed to eat chulin. He's allowed to eat chulin. However, what can he not have? Posel b'truma. He would make truma posel. Now he's unfit to eat truma. If he would touch the truma, he'd make the truma a shlishi. Okay, he'd make the truma a shlishi. So now, what do we say? Kikar, sheni, a bread that has a secondary tumah. And what do we know about a bread that's a secondary tumah? Sheposel b'chulin, that it cannot be eaten for chulin. And what chulin are we talking about? Meiser sheni, loaf of bread, that's a sheni. If that is meiser sheni, you cannot use it for meiser sheni. Okay. Actually, a loaf of chulin is susceptible to tuma on the sheni level, and if that chulin happens to be meiser sheni, it's unfit for consumption. Okay, so ein adin, isn't this all the more so? Sheyasa shlishi b'truma, that it could create a shlishi in the case of truma. Okay, it should render truma unfit by touching it. So if you have a loaf of bread that's a sheni, it cannot be eaten as meiser sheni. So all the more so, a loaf of bread that touches some truma will make it a shlishi for truma. So let's review the Kal Vachomer one more time. The Kal Vachomer, what's the Kal thing? The Kal thing is a tevul yom. A tevul yom is permitted to eat meiser sheni, yet he's prohibited to eat meiser shlishi, rather truma. He can't eat truma, right? Because he would make it tame, right? That's the halacha. He cannot eat truma. So now, so what? It's lenient that what? That a tevul yom may eat meiser sheni. So now let's look at a loaf of bread that's a sheni of tuma. A loaf of bread that's a sheni of tuma cannot be eaten as maaser sheni. That's already showing it's stricter. It's stricter than tevul yom.
Can we know that from the Torah?
Yeah, that's givens. We don't have to analyze more than that. Those are givens. So now, all the more so that what? That if the secondary loaf would touch some truma, it would render the truma unfit as a shlishi. And that was the Kal Vachomer that Yochanan ben Zakkai learned. Therefore, and he was afraid that other generations would overturn that Kal Vachomer. Now, here was a footnote that I wanted to avoid, but I couldn't avoid it. So we have to do it because the next Gemara is going to make use of that, so I can't get out of it. Rashi's question. So let's take it slow here. It's going to be a typical thing that Shelley is not going to like. It's not one of these logics that goes logically. You'll see. Okay, Rashi asks. Now, there's something about Kal Vachomers that is another thing we employ. And I'll say it in Hebrew, and then we'll explain it. There's a concept, let me just see, it's not over here. No. There's a concept called Dayo Lavo Min Hadin Lihios Kinodon. There's such a principle. Now, look in the bracket here. Dayo is a general rule governing the process of Kal Vachomer. there's certain rules within a kal v'chomer, and states that we seek to extend the stringency from one context to another by means of a kal v'chomer, that's what we're doing, it is sufficient to make the target context equal in stringency to the source context, we do not derive that it is more stringent. In other words, the thing that you want to learn, that we're learning from A to B, so what you want to say, well, if A is weaker in this area, yet it has this stringency, then B, that's stronger here, should be stronger here. Now, this here of the B, it can't be any more than what the other one was in its area of strength. You can't make it more strong, right? If the lower thing was lenient here and stricter here, then if we're stricter here, we're stricter here. Fine. But you only be strict as this situation is, and you can't make it stricter than this situation. Right? You can't do more than what the lower level was. We'll play it out in a minute. But we can't say, oh, well, if this is stronger, we're going to make it way stronger than the other. You can only make it as strong as the strict. If the weaker one is, here we're lenient and here we're strict, for sure here we'll be strict. But this strictness can't be any stronger than whatever we were strict over here. You can't make it more strict because that's how kal v'chomer works. All right? So, let's give a simple example. If you say, let's say you have a weak link, we're going to make a kal v'chomer between a weakling and a strong man. So if he's so weak he can't do this, he's so weak he can't even pick up a chair. Let's say he can't even pick up a chair, but he can pick up this tape recorder, then the strong man can for sure pick up the tape recorder. Right? No, well, he can pick up the chair. I said strong can pick up the chair, but he could for sure pick up the tape recorder. But could he pick up a car? Well, I'm stronger than him. I for sure could do this. Well, all we can for sure, we can only... Well, let's give it even a better example. Let's say, here's a guy, over the week that doesn't work out, and he's got flabby arms. Right? That's the weak thing. But he can pick up this tape recorder. The strong man who has lots of muscles for sure could pick up the tape recorder, right? That would be a kal v'chomer. Can I say, well, the strong man can for sure pick up the table? No. I don't know. All I know for sure, he could do what the weak man can do. I can't say he could do more than the weak man. I don't know to what level I can go. He's a little stronger, but I don't know how much stronger. You understand? Kal v'chomer is saying whatever the weak man can do, the strong man can do. But he can't say, well, whatever the weak man can do, the strong man can do even much more. That's not kal v'chomer anymore. Now you're... And it's not saying it could be true. It could be true. It could be the strong man could pick up the table. But you can't prove it from the weak man. All you can prove from the weak man, we could say we would not ask the strong man to prove to us he can pick up the tape recorder. You don't have to prove it. If the weak man can pick up the tape recorder, then kal v'chomer, the strong man can pick up the tape recorder, right? That's how kal v'chomer would work. But now I say, well, let the kal v'chomer go further. Well, if the weak man can pick up the tape recorder, for sure the strong man can pick up the table. There's no basis for that. Maybe he could. I'm not going to say for sure he can't, but I don't know if to say for sure he could either. I can't use kal v'chomer to teach me any more than what the weaker one can do. That's the point. That what I just said is called dayo lavo minadin, which means it's enough that you could learn from the kal v'chomer. Dayo lavo minadin lios ka'atzmo, that you could make it like the weak thing, but you can't make it more than the weak thing. Right? You follow what I'm saying? So when you're learning a kal v'chomer, yeah, okay, the weak man could pick up the tape recorder, fine. So the strong man could for sure pick up the tape recorder. Can the strong man for sure pick up the table? I don't know. It can't. It could be he can, but I'd have to find another way to prove that. Okay? Maybe you could find another way, but you can't. By the weak man, you can't. That's a general rule. So let me read it again. You'll see. Dayo is a general rule governing the process of kal v'chomer. and states that when we seek to extend the stringency from one context to another by means of a kal vachomer, it is sufficient. All we need to do is it is a kal vachomer. You know, even if I don't say anything about the strong and the weak man, it's a reality. You can't say, well, I don't know, maybe he can. The kal vachomer forces me. It's not something I just decided I'm going to invent the kal vachomer. The kal vachomer forces me to say the strong man can pick up the tape recorder. You can't say, well, I don't know, why do you have to say that? Well, it's reality. So there is a constant kal vachomer. The question, it for sure is a kal vachomer. The question is, but what's the kal vachomer? How far is it going to go? So we say, it can't go for it. We say, well, there has to be a kal vachomer. There's a strong man and a weak man. The strong man has to be able to do something the weak man can do, right? But to say, to go more than that, we only do the kal vachomer as much as we can, as it were. So it's sufficient to make the target context, the thing we're going to learn about, equal in stringency to the source context. From the source, whatever the source was, then what we're going to learn it from is equal, and I have a kal vachomer. But we do not derive that it is more stringent. The thing we're going to learn, we do not derive. So now let's back it up. So Rashi asked over here, when we did the kal vachomer, okay, so we said like this, remember, a tful yom, let's review, the truma of a tful yom is less severe than truma on a sheni level. Let's say if you look at a man who came out of the mikvah, or a sheretz who came out of the mikvah, his tumah is less than a loaf of bread that was touched and is a sheni l'tumah. If I would ask you what tumah is worse, a loaf of bread that a rishon touched and made the loaf a sheni, is that worse, or is a guy who just came out of the mikvah from tumah worse? The answer is the guy with the second loaf of bread. Why? Because that second loaf of bread cannot be eaten as Meiser Sheni, while the guy who came out of the mikvah could eat Meiser Sheni. So you see that Meiser Sheni is that Tuma Sheni, Kikar, we're going to call it Kikar Sheni, the second bread of the Tuma, is more severe than a guy who came out of the mikvah, a Tful Yom. Right? That's what he's saying. For the Tful Yom level is compatible with Meiser Sheni, as evidenced by the fact that the Tful Yom may eat it. Whereas the Sheni level of Tumah is incompatible with Meiser Sheni, as evidenced by the fact that Meiser Sheni, which is a Sheni, if that bread, that's, we have lots of bread that was Meiser Sheni, became Tumah, became a Sheni, you can't eat it. Now, if the Tful Yom level were incompatible with Meiser Sheni, if it was, then the Tful Yom would not be allowed to ingest Meiser Sheni, regardless of whether his content would disqualify it. But you see, he can eat it, right? So you see, a Tful Yom is able to eat Meiser Sheni, right? He's compatible with Meiser Sheni. He could eat it. While a loaf of bread that's a Sheni is not compatible, you cannot eat it as Meiser Sheni. So there we see that Kikar, a secondary Tumah, is stronger than a Tful Yom. Thus, the kal vachomer is, if Sheni is incompatible with food, where Tful Yom is compatible, in the case of Meiser Sheni, then all the more so is Sheni incompatible with food where Tful Yom is incompatible, which is the case of Truma. Can a Tful Yom eat Truma? No. Therefore, Sheni, which is simply unfit in the case of Meiser Sheni, would actually create a Shlishi in the case of Truma. If that loaf of bed would now touch some Truma, it would make it Tame. So now, here you're going to ask your question. Rashi's going to ask. I'm already reading your mind. So Rashi asks, why do we not apply the principle of Dayo? How would we do that? In our case, let the kal vachomer be limited to teaching that the Sheni itself is unfit for Truma. How can it teach that the Sheni can even make Truma a Shlishi? So let's explain. It's a very... very subtle point. What are we saying about a Tful Yom? A Tful Yom, a guy who goes to the mikvah, he can or cannot eat Meiser Sheni? He cannot eat Meiser Sheni. I'm sorry, a Tful Yom. He can eat Meiser. Good. He can eat Meiser Sheni. Can he eat Truma?
No.
Okay. So the question is, can he not? Okay, fine. Now let's take a look at a second loaf of bread. A loaf of bread that Rishon touched it and it's a Sheni. It is Meiser Sheni. Can you eat it?
No.
No. Now, what would be, if I would ask you, what would be a reasonable kal v'chomer? We're saying you can't eat. Everything's can you eat, right? Tful yom. Can the tful yom eat meiser sheni? Yes. Can't he eat truma? No. Right? The second loaf of bread, that is meiser sheni, can it be eaten? No. Now, what would be reasonable to say is, okay, what if that second loaf was truma?
Definitely.
Could you eat it? If that loaf of bread that was a sheni, could you eat it? No, it's, let's say this, the loaf of bread isn't meiser sheni, it's truma instead. That's the kal v'chomer. That would be a good kal v'chomer, a perfect kal v'chomer. In other words, you got a, here's a loaf of bread, okay? A first degree tuma. So let's say a sheretz touched me. I'm a risha. I touched the bread. It's sheni. Now, if this bread happened to be meiser sheni, meiser sheni, can't eat it. Now, what if instead of it being meiser sheni, it's truma? I'm a Rishon. I'm going to make this a sheni now, right? Made it a sheni. Can I eat it? For sure not. Why not? That's from Tful Yom. Tful Yom. A Tful Yom. Can he eat Meiser Sheni? Yes. Can he eat Troma? No. So what about a secondary loaf of bread? If it's Meiser Sheni, can it be eaten? No. So if the loaf of bread is a sheni and it wasn't, it was Truma instead, could I eat it? No, how would I know that? From a kal v'chomer. That's a perfect kal v'chomer. But what are we trying to do with this kal v'chomer? We're trying to say, if this loaf of bread touches truma, it makes it a shlishi. It makes the truma a shlishi, which is still not allowed to eat. Well, you've taken a little bit too much liberty in your kal v'chomer, because I don't see that anything by tful yom that makes something a shlishi. I don't see that Tful Yom is not making anything a shlishi. He just can't have truma. That's the Dayo principle. The Dayo principle says, okay, you can learn a kal v'chomer. It certainly is stricter, but if it's stricter, you can only make it as strict as what the lenient thing is. So now we'll treat it. So that's it's all there. All Rashi said, in our case, let the kal v'chomer be limited to teaching that the sheni itself is unfit if it is truma. How can it teach that a sheni can even make truma shlishi? That you never saw by the tful yom. So what gives you the right? Now, it could be it's stronger to do that. But the rule is, when we make a kal v'chomer, we limit it to what is on the ground and not what we would speculate. Clear? That's Rashi's question. I tried to avoid it because it was Rashi's question. Nobody was asking it, so I avoided it. You understand? But we're going to see shortly, if today or if not today, tomorrow, you understand we got to do it. So how does Rashi answer it? Now we have...
So we're basically saying that to say that it can make something else, the truma, shlishi, the bread can make truma, shlishi.
You have no basis.
That's like saying the guy can lift a table.
Exactly. The guy could lift the table.
Now, one more question.
Or let's say even more. The strong man... The strong man can stay up for 24 hours.
Whatever, yeah.
But that would be even better, because that's nothing to do with lifting now. Because it's a separate activity. See, this is a separate activity. Can it be eaten? Can it give off tumah? So if the weak man can do that, then for sure the weak man, the strong stay up for 24 hours. Who's talking about staying up for 24 hours? Maybe he could, but that's we can't say that, right?
There's this whole thing about the bread and the tful yom. Like, the guy who was
tummy, and now he's a tful yom.
He had a way to become at least semi untummy by going to the mikvah. So now he can eat meiser sheni, but he can't eat truma. But the bread, also a sheni. You're both shenis, right?
Well, no. The guy coming out of the mikvah, he's not a sheni at all.
No, what?
He could have been whatever. He could have been an av. He could have been.
Okay, but
he could have been whatever he was.
What I'm saying is, the bread, there's nothing you can do to the bread. You can't go to the mikveh. You can't do anything. So how do you use a tful yom and the bread? Because because the Tul Yom, he did something active to change his status. You can't do that with the bread. It is what it is.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, but we're just saying, we're looking at it, notwithstanding why it is where it is, okay, but what is its status now? That's what Kavara is. Can a Tful, does a Tful Yom have restrictions? You're just telling me why. Does a Tful Yom have restrictions?
Yes.
Well, no in some areas, yes in other areas, right? Now, why is he restricted? That's what the Torah says. That's what the Torah says. Doesn't matter why, that's the restriction. Right? Now, there isn't. Now, the Gemara tried to ask questions. Well, this has a stringency because it was an Av. The Gemara tried to do that and said, well, no, we don't see. We see other ones is not like that. See, that's because we're going to have Kli Cheres and other things. So that kind of will change that. So at the end of the day, that's not enough to break the Kal Vachomer, how it got to that status. That's just not enough. So that's what it's saying. So let's see Rashi's answer. Okay, this is good. Now, this part I knew you would like. The answer now, this is where it's a little bit. Rashi answers that one of the qualifications of the Dayo principle, now remember, the fact there is a Kal Vachomer, you cannot deny that there is a Kal Vachomer here. The only question is, how far do we apply it, right? But you understand that there is a Kal Vachomer here? Because definitely, Kikar Sheni is stricter than a Tful Yom, for sure. So if it's stricter, it's logical, it should be stricter, as strict or whatever, in other areas. It should be applied in other areas, okay? So Rashi says like this, that one of the qualifications of the Dayo principle is that we do not apply it when this would completely nullify the Kal Vachomer and there'd be no Kal Vachomer left. That's based on a Gemara and Baba Kama, to which Shelley's going to say, why not? Just throw out the Kal Vachomer. But anyway, that's the principle. But I hear the question, why not? If it doesn't apply, then don't say the Kal Vachomer. So let's look. In our case, restricting the Kal Vachomer. So what was our question? Let's restrict the Kal Vachomer to teaching that Truma may become a Sheni would nullify its existence, effectiveness, since Scripture has already taught that Truma may become a Sheni. In other words, that Kal Vachomer wouldn't do anything for me because from the Torah I already know that Truma as a Sheni can't be eaten as Truma. So that wouldn't give me any Kal Vachomer. As explained in note 20, the verse which illustrates that food may become a sheni teaches this is in regard to all categories of food, whether chulin, truma, or kodesh. We already know from the Torah that a sheni can't be eating anything. A sheni of tuma can't be eaten by chulin, vermeiser sheni, can't be eaten for truma, can't be eaten for kodesh. I already have that from a pasuk. I already know that secondary tuma cannot be eaten for truma. Since there is no point in a Kal Vachomer teaching that truma may become a sheni, So we set aside Dayo, and we derive from the Kal Vachomer that Truma is more stringent than Chulin, and can become a Shlishi, just that it is more stringent than Chulin in regard to compatibility with Tful Yom. So what is Rashi saying over here? He's saying, if my Dayo knocks out what I'm trying to learn, then I don't have any Kal Vachomer, but we have a Kal Vachomer. It's got to be used for something. In other words, there's a principle of Dayo. So if there was no, let's say the Torah never taught us anything about a secondary tumah is usher for truma. If the Torah didn't teach it us, I would use that Kal Vachomer to teach us that it would be a secondary loaf of bread. You can't eat truma. That would be a perfect use of the Kal Vachomer. But you know what? I don't need that because there's a pasuk that tells me that already. The Torah already says that if a loaf of bread is a sheni for tuma, you can't eat it as truma. Period. So if that's the case, what would the Kal Vachomer be teaching me? Right? There's something to be learned. It is stricter in that area. So I have to bump it up a little bit, as it were, to say that what? That secondary loaf of bread can make something else tame as a shlishi, and that would be truma. Now, you know you're going to say, well, what gives you the right to say that? And that's what the Gemara is, Rashi is saying, because we have a Kal Vachomer in logic, it's got to be employed somewhere. To which you could ask, well, why does it have to be employed somewhere?
That's not a pasuk or a letter,
But it's a logic. Again, let's go back to the logic. We do know that Kikar Sheni is stricter than Tful Yom. We do know that. Because a Tful Yom may eat Maaser Sheni, while is compatible with Maaser Sheni, while a Kikar Sheni is not compatible with Maaser Sheni. So we wanted to say, if that's the case, so by a Tful Yom who may eat Truma, we want to say that this Kikar Sheni that touches something, that Tful Yom may not eat Truma, that Kikar Sheni, if it touches something else, that other thing cannot be eaten as Truma, Shlishi for Truma. To which we're asking, just learn the minimum that you could learn from the Kal Vachomer. Just say that the secondary loaf can't be eaten as Truma. The answer is, I don't need a Kal Vachomer for that, because I know that from the Torah, secondary loaf can't be eaten as Truma. So what would the Kal Vachomer be teaching me? What would it be teaching me? I want to know. Tell me a stringency. If I see this astringency by a Tful Yom of Truma, so what stringency by Kikar Sheni would be by Truma that the Kal Vachomer could teach me? Well, it can't teach me that as a Sheni you can't eat Truma, because the Torah already tells me that. So what stringency does a loaf of bread have by Truma from the Kal Vachomer? So Shelley would say, nothing. Right? Nothing. Because you're going a little bit of a stretch. To which the Gemara is saying, no, if I have a Kal Vachomer, if I see that, again, Kikar Sheni by Maaser Sheni is stricter than Tful Yom, and I see that a Tful Yom has a certain stringency by Truma, that it's incompatible with Truma, so I've got to have some kind of Kal Vachomer about Kikar Sheni and Truma. So we would have said, okay, fine. If the Kikar Sheni, you want to eat it as Truma, you can't eat it as Truma. But I already know that from a Pasuk. So what's going to be, there has to be some stringency that it has. So we're going to say the stringency is it can make something a Shlishi, you can't have Truma. Because there's got to be something that it's as strict as it. Right? So that's a different... It's a difficult svara to hear. You understand how it's a difficult svara to hear? Because we would just say, so forget about the Kal Vachomer. But we see the Gemara does not. It's really based in the Gemara Baba Kama that basically not. We don't allow Dayo to totally not give us something to learn from a Kal Vachomer. All right, we got to accept it as it is. And that's going to be the basis of the next part of the Gemara now. After all that introduction, we'll just do it briefly now. What?
That was the introduction.
No, but I'm just saying, but okay. All right, you know what? Maybe best let's just stop it here. We already learned plenty. But that's what's going to happen now is when we come, we wanted to learn Hektish, fourth degree Tumah from the Kal Vachomer as well. And that same question's going to come up. The same, what are you going to see? You could tell me that if it was a Shlishi, you can't eat Truma, but how does a Shlishi make a Revi? And the Gemara, this time Gemara is going to spell it out and say, well, I have a pasuk that already says it's a shlishi. That's what the Gemara is going to basically say. I have a pasuk that says it's a shlishi. Well, let's just, I already said it already, so we can do it now. It's just another 2-3 minutes, so let's just do this part now. So where am I now? 29B, one second. Just give me a second. So let's just do it quickly. We already did it now. So let's just, Tanya, we learned in our Braisa. Amar Rav Yossi says, Minayin l'Ravi b'Kodesh Apostle. How do you know that a fourth degree Tumah is possible by Kachim? Right? Kodesh is more severe that even if it comes, if a Shlishi, if it becomes a Ravi. In other words, if Truma, if an animal that's been sanctified comes in contact with a Shlishi, it becomes a Ravi and you can't eat it, it's tummy. How do we know that? So it's a Kal Vachomer. We did that yesterday. Vidinu, that's a Kal Vachomer. Ma mechuser kapur. Remember the guy who went to the mikvah and can eat truma, but he still can't eat kachim. Remember? Fourth kachim. So ma mechuser, just like a mechuser perkum. Shemutzer perkum. Can eat truma, but pasul by kodesh, but can't eat kodesh. Now let's look at a shlishi. Let's say a loaf of bread that's a shlishi. That is a shlishi. Can you eat it as truma? A loaf of bread. That's truma. That's a shlishi. Can you eat it? No. No, that we know that from a Kal v'chomer, right? From Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, right? But we don't. So if a loaf of bread, it's a shlishi, so let's go. Shemutar b'truma, possible kodesh. A shlishi which is unfit in the case of truma, as we learned from the Kal v'chomer, ain't a din who she asked her via kodesh. Can't it also make? Can a third degree make a fourth degree? Okay. So now Gemara already assumes you're going to ask the question of dayo. Well, what do you mean? All we know, it's not compatible. Who says it can make a revi? Same question. How do you know it can make it a revi? Let's just say you can't eat kodesh as a shlishi. How do you know that a shlishi can make a revi? Just like we asked before, how do you know a sheni can make a shlishi? Why is your Kal v'chomer saying the shlishi can make a revi? Just say a shlishi is incompatible with kodesh. That's what was the Kal v'chomer? Mechusar kippurim can eat truma but can't eat kodesh. A shlishi can't eat truma, so we'll say Kal v'chomer can make a revi to kodesh. What gives you right to say that? Just say dayo, that a shlishi alone can't be eaten as kodesh. Why are you telling me he can make a revi? Say dayo. Gemara says no, because we already have a pasuk that a shlishi cannot eat truma. Vilamadnu. Let's finish the Kal v'chomer. Ein adun shu yase revi b'kodesh. Now, maybe you'll say no. Only the Kal v'chomer helps us say that a shlishi of kodesh can't be eaten. Says we don't do that because vilamadnu. We already learned from a pasuk. We already learned that shlishi l'kodesh min haTorah. We already learned that a third degree tumah is usher already from the Torah. So if I already learned that from the Torah, the Kal v'chomer can't come to teach me that. So what could the Kal v'chomer really teach me? It will teach me u'revi mi Kal v'chomer, that the shlishi can make a revi, and that can't be done for kodesh. Okay, and that's what the note says. Not only can the law of shlishi and kodesh be derived through a Kal v'chomer based on tful yom, there's actually an explicit verse which teaches already that a shlishi in kodesh can't be eaten. So then limiting the Kal v'chomer from mechusar according to the law of shlishi would be considered a nullification of the Kal v'chomer. Accordingly, we do not invoke dayo or derive from the latter Kal v'chomer that kodesh can even become a revi. That was the whole point. All you have, you know, shlishi is stricter than mechusar kippurim. So shlishi, so say shlishi is usher in kodesh. But he said that I already have a pasuk for that, so that wouldn't tell me anything. You have to tell me the chiddush is that the Kal v'chomer is saying that the shlishi can make a revi by kodesh. Same, exactly the same that we said before. So the Gemara is assuming you know the whole question of dayo. So therefore, the Gemara concludes: how do you know that there's a fourth level tuma that can affect kodesh? It's from the Kal v'chomer of mechusar kippurim. Mechusar kippurim can eat truma, cannot eat kodesh. It's in the ball game of truma, but not in the ball game of kodesh. So a third level tuma of bread, which we know is usher in truma, can, if it touches something, makes it a revi. Let's say dayo, that only the third level challah, right, is usher in kodesh. Who says it makes a revi? Because just to say it's usher in kodesh, I already have a pasuk that says it's usher in kodesh. So what would the Kal v'chomer be teaching me? Kal v'chomer would teach me that third level challah still can relate to kodesh to make something a revi that you can't eat it by kodesh. Okay. You got it? Okay, we'll review that last part. It's exactly the same. Once he's saying, I have a pasuk that the Torah says that a third degree tumah cannot be eaten as kodesh. So I can't have a Kal v'chomer teaching me that.
But if we have a pasuk that says that a third degree can make something that's kodesh a fourth degree.
No, we don't have a pasuk for that. I don't have a pasuk for that. I have a pasuk that says a third degree loaf cannot be eaten as kodesh. We want to say the Kal v'chomer that the third degree, if the third degree challah touches the animal, which is not a shlishi, but it's a revi, then you're saying the revi can't be eaten as kodesh. Well, where'd you get that from? Because what do we know from the Mechusar Kippurim? Mechusar Kippurim, he can't eat kodesh. But it doesn't mean he gives off an extra tumah to something else. So how are you going to learn that? Because there's nothing else to learn. So then the Gemara is going to go. So, okay, you're telling me we learn that Kodesh can't be in his third degree. How do you know that? You said it's a pasuk. Show it to me.
Okay, got it.
All right.